broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances, brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the one and only Global Reach broadcast, Liberty Roundtable Live. And by the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for Friday. You got to dig that. And a quick recap of yesterday's show, and then we're straight into the hard-hitting news we've got for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, RustQuinnGift.com, doing a phenomenal job. We had his buddy on with us, Kelly Finnegan, well-known senior chemist, joins us on air. We talked about the Honest Money Report, gold and silver, and how it's strange how gold and silver's down when it compares to the U.S. dollar, but it's up compared to all the other currencies of the world. How does that happen? Can you say government manipulation? Can you say paper play rules the day? Can you say plunge protection team saving the U.S. bacon once again? That's right. It's all politically motivated. It's all dishonestly restructured, and it's going to get worse. The Federal Reserve announces global digital currency to replace U.S. dollar. They're tentatively calling it the Fed coin. This Federal Reserve cryptocurrency could replace the dollar as we know it, folks. Beware of that. Fed coin, the new government global digital currency they're working on. Fedcoin, a new scheme for tyranny and poverty, writes Ron Paul. Amen to that. Reality check as well. The Biden administration unveiled a new plan to make it easier for government to wipe away stimulus loans. I'm sorry, student loans. Yeah, and interest capitalization. The Biden administration will cancel student debt galore. 43.4 million students hold a total of $1.76 trillion in debt. Did you hear me, ladies and gentlemen? 43.4 million students hold a total of $1.762 trillion in debt. Never mind the debt that it takes for them to live their lives, buy a house, buy a car, whatever the case may be, the inflationary hidden tax abusing the people. Add all that up, and then you go, wow. They borrowed enough money elsewhere where you owe thousands of dollars individually as well. We'll never pay all this back, folks. It is a Ponzi scheme that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And at the end of it, I'm telling you right now, it's nothing but pain, ladies and gentlemen, because of the dishonesty that we've passed from generation to generation, four generations. Sad but reality check. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, CSPOA.org press conference happening. July the 12th, 2022, ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday, 10 a.m. in Las Vegas at the Ahern Hotel. Lindell TV will be covering it live. Brighty on TV will be covering it live. The New York Times and Reuters have already said they'll be there. Mike Lindell will be there. I'll be there. Sheriff Richard Mack will be there. A bunch of sitting sheriffs will be there with their updates on their current election fraud investigations. True the Vote, folks. Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips will be there. It is going to be an epic day. I just saw the video, ladies and gentlemen, that we put together documenting the history of vote fraud in America, and it is shocking. We've got it going on with the Q&A at the end and a whole lot more. We've got headliner speakers. We've got lunch for everybody in attendance. It's going to be epic at the Ahern Hotel. Be ready. CSPOA.org/elections to learn more. Meanwhile, we had our guest, second hour two, Philip F. Turney, three-time president and former chairman of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, USSLibertyVeterans.org to learn more. And we talked about Phil with his new show. He says our goal with the Liberty Veterans show is really to help you hear from the survivors and learn firsthand about what really happened, how the government literally got in bed with Israel and attacked our own servicemen in 1967. Yeah, we also talked about, are we going to have Kamala Harris for president? We pray the answer is no, but Joe's getting a little more senile every single day, and he won't last, they say. Thus, are they going to shoo in Kamala? Communist Kamala Harris, in my humble opinion, would be absolute disaster. You think Joe Biden's bad? This lady is absolutely insane. What if she ended up getting somebody like Stacey Abrams as her, quote, running mate, as she's an incumbent for 2024? How would that look for the Donald or DeSantis or whoever else it's going to be to take on? It'll be an interesting twist, to say the least, and that's a recap of the broadcast that's still available online, listenable on demand at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brightyonradio.com. Spread the word, share the love, would you please? Donate liberally. Every penny will help us tell the tale of freedom. All right, back with you live. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me once again. He's going to be with us 2 hours today because of the epic nature of the broadcast. Doctor, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. You know, you have to get up a little bit early to be the one that gets the bird with the early worm when I get on the radio with you first hour. So,
hey, buddy, I've been getting the worm for 25-plus years, man. Come on. All right, welcome back. Anyway, we know you've had some incredible travels sharing the word of liberty, et cetera, and you've had kind of a rough and tumble travel, but welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you. It's, I don't know, always nice to go out and speak the gospel of liberty to as many people as will pay attention, and we need more friends all the time, but it's nice to be making new friends.
Amen to that. Love it. All right, Ken Cromar. The man who's been taking on the IRS like nobody's business is with us. And Ken is our guest, and he says, please support Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS. If it can happen to us, if it can happen to Barbie and Ken, it can happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. Ken, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Sam and Scott. It is always a pleasure to be with you in any place at any time. So thank you, sir.
All right. Now, I want to talk about several things. Last time we talked, we kind of updated everybody on your case. The bottom line is you're hanging out in your house, living life, doing great, filmmaker, the world's wonderful, your family, just great stuff. But you really dug into Cedar Hills, your local community, in a very serious way because you wanted accountability. That led to all kinds of things. As a city council, or a city council member, you really felt like things weren't quite the way they ought to be, and so you started digging in. And wow, the more you dug, the more opposition you got. The more opposition you got, the more crazy it got. The more crazy it got. Before you know it, this literally blew up to a national, possibly even international scale. Interestingly enough, and as Ken continued, then they just assaulted Ken every 6 ways from Sunday. They first said, oh, he's a whacked out sovereign citizen with the IRS. They created literally a novel on Ken Cromar pretending he was associated with all kinds of people that he never was. And anyway, long story short, the battle has been going on and increasing. And as y'all know, the government took away his house. They literally kicked him out of his house with a 75-man SWAT team the second time. The first time it was a little more mild, but it was nevertheless a forced removal as well. Bottom line, though, he never had due process. He was still in the middle of his court cases. The government was belligerent, out of control, premature. They do that to thousands of Americans all the time. They just don't expect folks to stand up and say, uh-uh, like Ken and Barb. And that's what's happening now. They've been standing up like nobody's business. They've been going to court. The court cases continue. Last we talked, the trial was coming up, sir.
Yes.
It's coming gone, huh?
Yes, it has. And it was a kangaroo court if there ever was one. We were shocked at how that whole thing played out. We will definitely be appealing because of the many irregularities, inconsistencies, illegalities, and denial of due process even there. So, for example, on Friday the 24th of June, we learned of a very unique process using habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is not used much these days, I'm told. And it's usually, when it's used in a post-conviction scenario. What you don't hear it used as is in a pre-conviction scenario. So that's what we filed. We filed, said, This original case was done incorrectly for many reasons. Here's the reasons. This case, this trial must be stopped now. And when people see habeas corpus within the courts, they know what it means, and they immediately serve those documents on the offending parties. In our case, we went after three judges, the most notable of which is Christine Johnson, who was running the trial. She'd been asked to recuse herself for conflicts of interest. She wouldn't. The prosecutor was asked to recuse himself, and he wouldn't. And so we were stuck in between a rock and a hard place, because we knew if this thing went to trial, it wouldn't be fair, and that we would probably face a conviction. And so we had to do an emergency stop. Well, they ignored it. We showed up for first day of trial, but stayed behind the bar, meaning didn't enter the court. Pardon me. And just simply observed the prosecutor selecting the witnesses, using such questions as, "Have you ever associated with an anti-government group?" What kind of a leading question is that? Do you think that the government has the authority to tax
people?
Hold on,
before you go on with that question, I want to highlight this, though. With an anti-government group, what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen, and who decides that? Let me give you a quick example. Now, I don't mean to derail, but I want to highlight something really important.
Yes.
They say that Liberty News Radio, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, claims Liberty News Radio is one of the largest hate groups in the state of Utah. Well, I don't know if you know this, but the Liberty News Radio is only Sam Bushman. I didn't know I was that big. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. We're talking to Ken Cromar about his incredible IRS battle. Please support Ken and Barbie versus Goliath. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com for the whole story, videos of the assault, the 75-man SWAT team assault, and more. Barbie and Ken denied rights to subpoena key witnesses for crooked IRS trial is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. And I was mentioning when they say, are you involved with any anti-government organizations? So the Southern Poverty Law Center says Sam Bushman, or actually they said Liberty News Radio, is one of the biggest hate groups in the state of Utah. Well, I don't know if anybody knows, but Liberty News Radio is only Sam Bushman, nobody else. Okay, I wholly own it. I control it. It's just me. It's a DBA of my corporation, okay? Let's be very clear. It's just me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But yet I'm the largest hate group in the state of Utah, says the lying, dishonest Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, I didn't know I was a hate group. I'm the guy that says we're all God's children. Let's behave like it. I'm the guy that writes a clarion call for civility article, puts up a callforcivility.com website, and teaches that the rule of law, God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property are key to reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration. So I don't know really where they get hate group out of all that, but nevertheless, that's what they say. To make a long story short on that point, folks, the Southern Poverty Law Center has absolutely been discredited. The folks that make the claim, Mark Potok and all these other guys, they're already gone from the Southern Poverty Law Center because of flat-out scandal. Okay? They lied about Sam Bushman and Richard Mack, and we caught them and forced them to apologize. We have that documented in writing as well. Need I say more? Nevertheless, they asked these leading manipulating questions to Ken Cromar, and you better be careful how you answer because you and I and they don't define hate groups or anti-government groups the same way. See, I stand for the proper role of constitutional limited government. But then they say I'm an anti-government group, see? So it all is in the eyes of the beholder, Ken, is the whole point before the court.
Exactly. So here we are listening to the prosecutor select the witnesses without our participation because we have a habeas corpus in play and they're ignoring it. And they simply select a jury of their choosing. So it wasn't a jury of our peers. It was a jury of the prosecutor's peers. And so we began from that foundation, a week-long trial. And, you know, a real critical issue going into the trial was we had been denied access to the court because we did not have a state-licensed bar attorney. Now, nowhere in the Constitution, and Scott could confirm this, does it say anything about bar attorneys. It says you have a right to counsel. And that's not the court's choosing. That's your own choosing. And our counsel's name is
It all
Eugene
depends
Paul
on how
Richardson.
You define counsel, sir. There, now.
Right? Well, yeah, if you control the words, right? So
yeah,
what happened
they control
is
the language of the narrative and the meanings, and then they force their agenda down your throat based on those. What you got to do, though, is rewind the tape and look at it from the Founding Fathers' point of view. Was it only attorney counsel passed by the bar that they were talking about? And the answer is a resounding no.
Right. So here's another interesting point, Sam. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution reads, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused, that would be Barbie and Ken, shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. That didn't happen. It was a year and 8 months. By an impartial jury of the state, that didn't happen. And the district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have previously ascertained by law and to the informed of the nature and the cause of the accusation. That's a whole other story. And here's the key point, though. To be confronted with the witnesses against him and to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. All of that was denied us. We went into the court with subpoenas for the witnesses that we wanted to compel to be there at trial. We did this on June 16th. And I had to wait 20 minutes for the judge's assistant was called down by the clerk saying, you cannot file or you cannot have these subpoenas signed because you're not a bar attorney. We've given you a public defender. And I'd point out, we rejected all bar attorneys at every turn. We've never had one in any of our court cases. And therefore, they said, you can't have these. And I gave the poor woman, Amber Evans, 6 chances to actually get her oath right and to sign those subpoenas so that we could bring people in. And at the end of that, she said, nope. And I said, okay, you've broken your oath. And I can't do anything about you doing your job. So have a nice day. And I walked out. Well, they must have pressed the magic buzzer under the thing because a deputy came to the door of the clerk's area and said, I don't like the way you were talking to those ladies. And I was like, sir, I really couldn't care less. I've just been denied my rights and I'm leaving. And he proceeded to accost me. Now, you've got audio there of what happened. If now might be a good time to actually play that, Sam.
Cam?
Are you Amber?
Sam?
Mr. Mitchell, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
I can't take
file on demand.
from here.
You can't take him. You've been deemed a vexatious litigant, and the judge appointed the public defender.
She's rejected.
For the purposes of filing.
So, you're telling me that the judge is going to deny me my constitutional right to self-represent. Hear me out.
I'm listening.
Ferretta versus California. I can represent myself. My counsel has been denied. That's illegal. And Judge Johnson will be having to be held accountable for this. So this is a file on demand. Did you hear me?
I've heard you, but I don't have to take your paperwork.
Okay.
Because.
And so you're Amber Evans, correct?
You've been a vexatious litigant by the court.
Yeah.
And she has appointed the public defender for the purposes of filing, not to represent.
How can we have a trial if we can't have our witnesses show up?
You can. Take these over to the public defender's office. They will file them.
That is illegal to require that. That is unlawful. And I demand for the third time, file on demand, please.
Well, you've been deemed a vexatious litigant. You need to file a request.
It's a false claim. It's a false claim, and the court has been reported.
That's not for me to decide.
The court has been reported to the Utah Attorney General for treason. You can't deny me my rights, but you're doing it, and now you're going to be named in lawsuits also.
Fine.
File on demand is the fourth time.
I'll go ahead and take them, and I'll do a ruling, and I'll send them back to you.
So. If you're not going to stamp those, then we have a problem. Okay, you know what? I need a receipt. Let's do that. I want a receipt.
We don't issue receipts when papers are filed.
Well, if I don't have those stamped, then I can't leave them with you. You're just going to steal them for me.
No, then you can have them. I brought you a copy of the ruling that says that.
Mindy, did you just witness this? I have documents here. I've asked now for the fifth time to file on demand that these have to be stamped so that I can subpoena witnesses. This is an unlawful, unconstitutional request. To require me to have a bar attorney, which actually steals my rights and does things with power of attorney without my knowledge, will never have a bar attorney. That's why she wants to have a bar attorney, so she can steal my rights. It'll never happen. So you're denying my constitutional rights. Are you clear on that? Are you clear on that?
I'm telling you what you're talking about.
Are you clear on that?
I'm not denying it.
Three times. Okay. So, you gonna take them?
We can't take them. The judge has made that order that we cannot take them.
You've been deemed a vexatious litigant, and there's rules.
Do you even know what that is?
There's rules.
I didn't come to the court. The court came after me through a false. Yeah, I can't be a vexatious litigant when it's the state that vexatiously came after me. It's a malicious prosecution. There's been two filings that have been rejected by this court. Are we going to have a trial or aren't we? I guess not. I guess not. If I can't have witnesses, why would I want to be here?
You can also file a motion to be allowed to file your subpoena.
No. I file. I'm not going to ask for permission to file when the vexatious accusation is a malicious prosecution. I didn't start the case. The state did. The state is vexatiously coming against me. How can I be a vexatious litigant when I'm the victim of the prosecution? I can't be vexatious. I'm defending myself. Amber, doesn't this make sense to you? Does it not make sense that I have a right to defend myself?
Sure. You do have the right to defend yourself.
She's not let me.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we're going to pause right there. We're going to come back. Here's the question. Are you a vexatious litigant? Huh? See, that's the problem here is what they do is they, and that's why I said it all depends on how you define this and how you define that. A vexatious litigant is somebody who files all kinds of lawsuits illegitimately to just tie up the courts and kind of become a paper terrorist and cause all these problems, and their lawsuits aren't legitimate, and therefore the court's simply going to say, you're not going to abuse our court, we're not going to allow you to do anything, you're a vexatious litigant. The problem becomes who defines vexatious litigant. See, the government, are they the vexatious litigant? They're the ones that literally took Barb and Ken's house without a trial of their peers, without a jury, without a speedy trial, without due process. Now they can't even subpoena their own witnesses. They can't even file documents in response to protect themselves on the courts. Because who defines vexatious litigant and who's put in that bucket? Yeah, that's how the courts work, ladies and gentlemen. More in seconds from Ken's assault. He gets assaulted after this. We'll talk about that and return to Ken and Scott in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was shot as he gave a campaign speech on Friday in western Japan and was airlifted to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police say they arrested a male suspect with a homemade gun at the scene of the attack moments after the shooting. The Prime Minister was talking outside a train station in western Nara. Done with the Biden administration being inept at the U.S.-Mexico border, Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott ordered state law enforcement officials to send illegal immigrants apprehended in the state back to the southern border. A federal judge on Thursday sentenced former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin to 21 years in prison with credit for time already served for charges that included violating civil rights of George Floyd. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-279-1717. 800-279-1717. That's 800-279-1717.
A small asteroid the size of a city bus made an extremely close approach to Earth on Thursday, missing us by only 56,000 miles. That's nothing in space terms. What's scary about this, no one knew it was coming until this week. The Kremlin continues to try and strong-arm Ukrainian leadership.
With Russia's military action in Ukraine in its fifth month, Russian President Vladimir Putin warned Kiev that it should quickly accept Moscow's terms or brace for the worst, adding that Russia has barely started its action. Speaking at a meeting with leaders, Putin accused Western allies of fueling the hostilities, charging that the, quote, West wants to fight us until the last Ukrainian, end quote. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
USA Radio News.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley together. We've got Ken Cromart on the radio with us. We're talking about the trial he just endured. They call him a vexatious litigant. Therefore, he can't file anything on the court docket. The interesting thing about that is wait a minute, a vexatious litigant is somebody who just erroneously sues. Ken got attacked by the government. He was peacefully living his life as I started out the broadcast. How are you a vexatious litigant when you're just trying to defend yourself against the hostilities of a vexatious court? Is that what we're talking about? IRS? A vexatious, out of control, unconstitutional, belligerent, extreme, violate your rights, deny due process government? Is that what we're talking about? Well, so the conversation continues with this lady here in seconds. Cam, go ahead. Let's finish this up.
She doesn't have the authority. She doesn't have
the public defender.
It's an unconstitutional request. She doesn't have a right to deny me counsel of my choice. There's no law that says it has to be a bar attorney. That's a fabrication. It's a lie. She doesn't have a state licensed bar, state issued by bar license herself. Neither does Mr. Perkins. I ask, you're requiring that of me, but you don't even have it yourself. Do you know that there is no such thing as a state-issued bar license?
Okay.
I'm telling you. There's no statute and there's no state department that actually issues bar licenses. The bar is a club. Did you know that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah. What a shame. You're working for the judge and you're doing things that are illegal in her name, and now you have to be named. Did you swear an oath?
Yes.
Was that a requirement?
To swear an oath to work here?
No, to be an officer of the court.
Well, sure.
Okay, so you've broken your oath. I guess I'll take these. Thank you. You can have that.
I know. Everybody follows orders. The Nazis have to do it. It didn't work out too well for them either, did it? Thank you, man. Have a good day.
What a kangaroo court.
Yes, sir.
Just understand, they're doing their job.
They're not doing
don't,
their job.
Hey, I'm going to stop
you
right now.
I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Did you take an oath?
Leave.
Well, then why are you stopping me? Leave me alone.
Please.
Did I do anything?
Leave.
Did
you
I?
Leave it. You're leaving right now. Okay.
Why are you getting in my face?
Because I'm telling you, leave. I don't like the way I talk to them. They're doing their job.
They're not doing their job.
To you. Yes, they are. So leave.
They're stopping.
Can you leave right now?
Would you stop it with this finger? I'm walking. Get your hands off me. That's assault. What's your name again? What's your name again? That's assault.
Deputy Steiner. You go. Get out of the building right now.
For what reason?
I will arrest you.
For what reason?
Okay.
For what reason?
Huh? You want to know the reason?
Yeah, tell me.
You want to know
what? I didn't break any law. I can just file papers. What? What law? You don't have a law.
I'm going to take leave. Disorderly conduct. You want to go to jail for disorderly conduct? I can take it, though.
Steiner.
Leave.
S-T-I-E-N-E-R.
You got it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So here's my question. Why did that cop, whatever you want to call this person, why did they confront Ken at all? Ken was already leaving. Ken had already said goodbye, gathered up his paperwork, and was leaving. Why would this person engage with Ken at all if he was peacefully leaving? You want the answer, ladies and gentlemen? I'll give it to you. Hardcore intimidation. Do you understand the intimidation ratchet up factor when a cop confronts you at the end as if you've done something wrong? As if somehow you're out of line and unacceptable and you could go to jail at any moment? And then he literally threatens, look, I'm going to arrest you. And the answer is for what? Why are you even talking to me? I'm already peacefully leaving. Why confront? Why ratchet that up? Because the intimidation factor has got to be there. For illegitimate government, unconstitutional government, to force their will on the rest of us. That's what's happening here. It's plain as day. There was no value in that confrontation except for to ratchet things up and create massive fear factor intimidation. Dr. Bradley, that's the summary of the trial, if you will. Your response, sir?
Well, it's interesting to me that we've kind of flipped the system on its head. I'm not saying Ken did it, but those that are embedded in the system have done so. The American Founding Fathers were extremely interested in justice. They were so careful in obtaining justice that they biased. If there's a bias in the American system to begin with, it's biased in favor of the accused. The American system was designed to make certain that an innocent individual was not punished for something they didn't do. And so they put lots of roadblocks, if you will, to prevent that from happening. And in fact, what happened initially after the Constitution was written and signed on 17th September of 1787, James Madison sent a copy of the Constitution to Thomas Jefferson, who was serving in France as the ambassador to France at the time. Says, hey, look what we've done. What do you think? And Jefferson's response was quite interesting to me in many, many levels. But one of them was, he says, here's what I like about this. He says, but I have some concerns that I would like to see corrected before we go too forward here. One of which was that he didn't feel like the jury trial had been protected adequately. Now, you can go back and read in the third article about the trial by jury and every case except for impeachment and so on. But so it was written into the body of the Constitution, and Jefferson said, you know, it really needs to have some, you know, emphasis on this thing. Let's see this this idea of a jury that can judge both. He didn't say this specifically in this letter, but the way it was in the day was to judge both the law and the facts in the trial. And so Jefferson expressed that interest. And then he says, we need a Bill of Rights, too. Shouldn't have it without a Bill of Rights. We could discuss why there wasn't a Bill of Rights and why many thought there shouldn't be. But he was emphatic about that. Now, of course, the Anti-Federalists kind of mounted their concerns about it, too. And ultimately, we got a Bill of Rights that extremely focuses on this idea of not only the jury, but also making certain that the accused can't be railroaded, as the British Crown had been doing with many over the centuries, literally. So the American Founding Fathers said, look, rather than have an innocent person that has to go down for something they didn't do, let's protect everything we possibly can. Now, that's been manipulated and flipped to the point that the system is biased in favor of the prosecution, and prosecutions and those people that hold the job of prosecutor, with some probably rare exceptions of which I'm not aware of, but there's probably someone out there that is a prosecutor that hasn't become abusive in their position, but prosecutors and judges oftentimes manipulate systems, the court cases that come before them, so that they ultimately and finally find that the accused is left out in the cold while the state, if you will, or the prosecutor's office is given special dispensation. I sat through a trial here a while back where there were, for example, the law, which I had reviewed, was extremely poorly written. It was a state law, very, very high level of probability of being misunderstood. And the defense wanted to have the law presented in the court so that the actual verbiage in the court could be heard by everybody that was there, including the jury, which should have the privilege of being able to judge the law and the facts. But at any rate, holy cow, the fight against that by the prosecutor and the allowance of the judge for the prosecutor's arguments over the defense attorney, was saying, no, wait, if there's a possibility that the law could have been misunderstood, there's a possibility that the charged person might be recognized by the jury as having made an honest mistake. But it was absolutely verboten. I mean, to go back to the Nazi kind of thing. Anyway, so what we have oftentimes is a manipulated system that all the tricks of the trade and all that kind of stuff. If we had time and interest, we could go back and read over. Ken's brought up the Sixth Amendment, for example, but there are other things that are challenging here too. But the fact of the matter is, we've abandoned what the American founders had in mind in making certain that justice, fairness, and all those kinds of things happened. And
And the bottom line, Dr. Bradley, that I see is they've taken unconstitutional action. They've denied a man his rights. They've denied him due process of law. They've denied him an appropriate venue to face his accusers. They've denied him the ability to have a true, honest jury of his peers. Okay, and then what happens is after they attack him, take away his home, leave him homeless, abuse him, run him out of money, do all these things, then he files to defend himself and starts to say, okay, I've got to gear up for this thing and defend myself from these abuses. And they say, oh, no, you don't. You're a vexatious litigant. Ladies and gentlemen, are you kidding me right now? And then they literally say he can't call the witnesses that he wants to the stand? Let's come back and talk to Ken about that part. We'll do it now. In seconds on your radio.
Attention, Patriots. 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 Calling all Patriots and law enforcement to come together in pursuit of the truth regarding the 2020 election, the worst crime in American history. A national press conference regarding election fraud will be held in Las Vegas on Tuesday, July 12th at 10 a.m. at the Ayrton Hotel, starring sheriffs from across the country. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, known as CSPOA, has called for investigation by sheriffs and law enforcement across this country. Former Arizona Sheriff Richard Mack is leading the charge. He will be at the Ayrton Hotel on July 12th, along with more than a dozen sheriffs from across the USA. Plus, Mike Lindell will be there, and special guests True the Vote investigators Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht, and yours truly, Wayne L. Root, will open the event. Tuesday, July 12th, 10 a.m., Ahern Hotel. It's a free event. Get more information and make a donation at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Dr. Scott Bradley riding shotgun on the broadcast today. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's website. Our guest, Ken Cromar, ladies and gentlemen. Please support Barbie and Ken in their battle. Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS. If it can happen to Barbie and Ken, it can happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. Ladies and gentlemen, are you a vexatious litigant? Do you even know what that means? They're saying Ken is a vexatious litigant. However, the problem is they're the ones that started the attack on Ken. Ken then decides to defend himself, and now they're blocking and striking all filings because they say he's a vexatious litigant. But they're denying witnesses of Ken's choosing. This is really critical, folks. So in the trial, the prosecution calls whoever they want, but yet Ken can't even call anybody he wants to in his defense. Ken?
Oh, yeah, boy. If I were in their shoes, I would want to cancel my witness list, too. Let me just read you a few names that were on the witness list. They had 30. We had 30. First man out of the chute, Charles Redding, commissioner of the IRS. Oh, no, 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 we can't have that. Yes, we can. We want to compel his testimony because he's already said that we're innocent. They wouldn't allow that on the record. Second witness, John Earl Sullivan. You remember him? He's the black fellow who ended up going to the Capitol insurrection and pretended to be a Trump supporter and videotaped for CNN and made $70,000 for his efforts and promoted it. Let's burn this effing place down, blah, blah, blah. He was an instigator, and yet he was at our house just days before we were hit by a 75-man SWAT team. And then a few months later, he's in Washington, D.C. doing this. Who is he? Does he work for George Soros? Does he work for the CIA? Who is he? Then my attorney, Eugene Paul Richardson, we thought if we can't
before
get
you
his
go
representation.
On, who is he? Hold on. Who is he, and why would he be at your house? How did he get
exactly
there?
Exactly.
Who led him there? Who did he make friends with that brought him there, and for what purpose? And was he on a mission planted by, seated by whom?
IRS,
okay,
whoever.
You
got
to understand
knows?
That.
Know.
Who gave him the marching orders? Who did he report intel back to? You got to know those things, folks, and you can't pretend it's not relevant.
Right.
Because
so
at what point
conceded.
Does this become a witch hunt, an intentional attack, and at what point do they have government provocateurs in the middle of it all? See, that's why they don't want to take this on. That's what happened in the Ammon Bundy case. We caught them at it. We were starting to expose their lynch men, and then they basically said, oh, my gosh, we got to cancel the whole trial. Yeah, interesting. Now these same people kind of wind up surrounding Ken Cromar. How, why, who, what, when, where, what the heck's going on? But no, we're not talking about that. You're going to jail, buddy. Kind of an attitude, right?
Right, right, exactly. Witness. Well, you just mentioned Ammon Bundy. Ammon Bundy was on our list, and they denied him, saying, well, he doesn't have anything directly to do with this case. Yes, he does. He was a witness to the auction of our home that was done illegally and unlawfully while we were under appeal to the circuit court. He was there. He can testify as to who won the auction because then they did a quick change and made it somebody else. No, no, we can't have him. He's running for governor of Idaho, and we're not going to allow him. Okay, so
but furthermore,
we lost him too.
Furthermore, mm-hmm. he has a couple of cases that were filed against him. He rotted in jail for 2 years, and at the end of it, end of all the allegations by belligerent, extreme, out-of-control government, at the end of it, he was guilty of nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Guilty
nothing.
Of nothing. In fact, the judge in Nevada said the only people that were acting criminal was the government. They withheld evidence. They lied, got caught. The judge was so incensed, had to declare a mistrial. We all applaud that, and it's good because Ammon goes free, but it's bad because we don't get to the bottom of the criminal activity that really took place because they just end it and cover it up and stop the forced parade of witnesses, see? That's the problem. Now they don't want Ken's parade of witnesses either.
Yeah.
Ken?
So, yeah, I mean, this story gets crazier and crazier. So Ryan Bundy had been at our home with us and Shauna Cox when we went back to our home that we held title on, and we'd filed at the acceptance of the original land patent of 1887 signed by President Grover Cleveland to the heirs and assigns forever. We publicly noticed it. And we wanted that testimony to happen. And so we had subpoena on our list, our subpoena list, Ryan Bundy and Shauna Cox. They allowed them, but check this out. When it was time for them to testify, strange, from their end, the Zoom, the WebEx, I should say, said, no, this trial has not started yet. And yet there were 50 plus people on there listening already. How is it possible that my witnesses couldn't get on, but everybody else could? So we had this.
Ken, I can't hear you. You must be breaking up. Okay, it's that kind of stuff, right, folks? What on earth is going on?
Yeah.
Ammon Bundy, no intention. You're just a conspiracy theorist, huh, Ken? Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's what's really bizarre about this. There was a blessing in all of this having finally gotten the subpoenas signed. Excuse me, on the first day of trial, we got a few allowed, pardon me, but it took forever to get everybody lined up. So rather than preparing for trial, we're simply trying to get our witnesses processed by a server and to get them lined up for the trial. So anyway, so Ryan finally gets on there. And boy, did he blow it out of the park. He just ate that prosecutor's lunch and taught him about the Constitution in a way that only a guy who's been sitting in jail for 2 years, almost half of it in solitary confinement, can do. He learned and knew the law and was a victim of malicious prosecution, and he had plenty to say, and he said it so well. What was bizarre, though, by the way, is that there was some comment when we were discussing Ryan about whether he had a warrant out for his arrest. It's like, we don't know, but they found out that he had one in Utah, but it was bogus. It had to do with a horse that jumped a fence and that he'd bought from somebody, and the horse bolted, and he had to track it through a bunch of places to try to find the horse. He found it at an animal shelter, and he grabbed his horse, and they sent him a bill for, I forget, a couple hundred bucks, maybe, I think it was a couple hundred bucks for hay, and he paid it, but they put out a warrant for his arrest before he even knew about it to pay it, and it was bogus.
And let
but
me stop
that
you
showed
there.
Up on the record.
This is where the government's out of control there. They're all about filing the documents where you're guilty, where you owe, where you this, where you that. Okay, but then when it comes to you already paid it, how come they didn't remove that warrant? Because they don't do their due diligence. They just leave that out there for you to battle and fight and struggle by yourself. This is what I mean by an out-of-control government. The same thing happened to me. I had a radio station, and a tower fence fell down, and they said I willfully violated the IRS. I got an attorney and cleaned their clock and proved it was bogus. It wasn't bogus the fence fell down. It was bogus that I willfully violated the FCC or whatever. I shouldn't say the IRS, the FCC. So they lied, but okay, those lingering issues are still out there. They act like I still owe on that, or I'm somehow guilty, or that somehow there was a case there. There wasn't. There isn't. They lost.
Yeah.
Okay? But the fact is they leave that out there because it makes you look like a criminal, see?
Right.
So now they're trying to use this against Ryan going, oh, why are you at the court in the first place? You're a criminal. You ought to be arrested. Oh, no, you liars from the pit of hell. That isn't true at all. See, but that's how they roll, Ken.
Yep. Well, here's what's really interesting about this. As part of the request, Ryan said, I want to be there. I would be happy to be there. We have a family gathering on that day, but I will be there for you. But I can't do this unless they can guarantee safe passage from my home in Bunkerville to the court and back. Oh, no, no, we can't do that. We figured out after the fact their goal was to arrest him. They wanted to arrest him. They wanted to arrest Ammon. Same kind of thing, a bogus something in some county, detain, arrest and detain. It's like, oh, my gosh, they were using my case to try to arrest these guys. Well,
yeah, so on one hand, they say, hold on one hand, they say these aren't linked. On the other hand, they're sure trying to use that link, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, yeah. They are. So, all right, so Ryan cleaned the clocks. Shauna Cox got on. She did it remotely, too, because everything was so last minute, and it was a good thing, too, for her. Then Sheriff Richard Mack, we wanted to get in. Oh, no, no, he doesn't know anything about it. Yes, he does. He and you, Sam, if you'll recall, I believe Local was involved too, tried to get the sheriff to do his job with regards to protecting the Cromars from the U.S. Marshal attack that was imminent. We took our weapons out of the house. We didn't want to be shot by accident.
We went to painstaking efforts there to try to intercede and have a peaceful sit down, and they refused, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear on this.
So Sheriff Mike Smith, the one who knows who does not like Richard Mack, apparently, and has said many derogatory things about the CSPOA, probably because he's been told that from getting his marching orders from above. We can't have constitutional things, right? Well, anyway, they denied him to be a witness, and we needed him on the stand. But, oh, no, he's in administration. No, he's not. Well, yeah, he is. But he was involved directly in our case and failed the Cromart. Nope, can't have him. Then we had a number of other people. Let me just Ron Gibson. He's a land patent expert and author who could testify to the legal and lawful ramifications of land patents that have 180 years of unanimous Supreme Court opinions. I don't know of any other subject where you have 180 years of unanimous anything from the Supreme Court. But there are on land patents. No. Is he an attorney? I don't think so. Well, then he can't testify because he's not an attorney. I kid you not. That was their defense. Joe Bannister. No. He was a former IRS agent. We can't go backwards in this thing. We can't bring up any of the other 14 cases. We can only talk about the ones we want to talk about. Joe Bannister's out. Then there was there's a 30, but I'm just going to give you some key ones. Then we wanted to subpoena David O. Levitt, the Utah County attorney, the one who just lost his election, by the way, due to a cloud of satanic ritual abuse accusations flying all around. He got spanked during the GOP caucus, and he's no longer there. But he claimed to be our prosecutor, but we never saw him, ever. So we wanted to put him on the stand. Oh, no, we can't do that. Sorry, Mr. Cromer, that's not going to happen.
Well, what about Gary Chapman? You're going to face thine accusers? What about the prosecutor, ladies and gentlemen? Are you going to face that guy? Uh-uh. See, this is the problem that we're having with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the prosecutor, the lead prosecutor, you're the organized, if you will, accuser.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's the problem. All right, and listen, hour one's up. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Scott Bradley about this. I mean, the more we hear, the worse it gets. This is going to be a two-hour special broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. The trial of Barb and Ken battling the IRS, which the IRS commissioner says there's no case. But the case continues. You got to ask yourself, what the heck? Why? Who? What? Where? Wait a minute. Witnesses? No. Vexus? Yeah, what's that called? Yeah. Vexatious litigant. Mm-hmm. What's a litigant, ladies and gentlemen? We got to talk about that a little bit, too. A litigant is somebody who starts litigation, isn't it? Or are you a litigant if you defend yourself? Huh? God save the Republic, ladies and gentlemen.